Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Also, we have a YouTube channel, and that's under my name, Susan Puzio. And we have Greedy Preachers TV on YouTube and my website, propheticnews.com. So those things are available for you. And it's been an interesting week in the news, hasn't it? So many things going on in the world. A few of the things that impressed me this week. You can see the desperation, really, in Europe. Europe's having a big problem with migrants or immigrants or aliens coming into the different countries, fleeing Syria and fleeing some of the African countries. And they're coming in by the thousands. You can see some pictures if you go to the Drudge Report of hundreds of people walking down the highway, walking down a busy highway, trying to walk to trains. There's really so much chaos. And we see it in our own country, where we have millions of people that have entered into our country illegally. We don't know who's here. And I think that we have to have law and order. Both of my sets of grandparents came into this country on boats from Europe. They entered in through Ellis Island. It was documented that they entered in. They were checked for diseases. We had a report last week that there was 4 cases of a deadly plague, and I think it was around Yellowstone Park. Now, where does a plague come from all of a sudden? So we have to know who's here. People just can't walk in. We're trying to fight terrorism, but yet people are coming in, and we don't know who's coming across the border. And it's quite shocking that they're trying to change the dialogue. So they want to call these undocumented immigrants. Well, when you cross into a country illegally, that's called illegal. And if you don't belong here, you're an alien. So you're really an illegal alien. And I don't understand why people get all upset when we have to be a nation of laws. There has to be law and order. There has to be right and wrong. Otherwise, you're going to have chaos. So I'm all for people coming here legally if they want a better life. And life is not always easy for people just coming here. I guess some people have the illusion that money grows on trees over here in this country, and you can just get what you want without working for it. But that's not the case. Everybody has to work, and that's how you get income. That's how you can obtain wealth, is by steady working and having a job that you go to 5 days a week or whatever, and you work for years, you have a steady income, and that's how you can maintain a certain lifestyle, but it's never easy to leave your homeland with nothing and then come to a foreign country and start your life all over again. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for my grandparents when they came, and they had my grandmother. She had 10 children, my one grandmother, and she they lived in a four-room cold water flat. So there was people in beds all over the place, and they didn't have a car. My grandmother had to walk to work in the factory, and it was in New Jersey, so it was cold and snowing, and so she had to do that, and her husband. So it wasn't easy. It's not easy for people, but anyway, we're going to continue to have major problems with people crossing the border unless something's done. Also, there was a story in the London paper this week that there's thousands of people sleeping on the streets in New York City. Now, they said that when Giuliani and Bloomberg were in office, they had rules where people, it was illegal for people to spit in the street and to sleep in the street and to panhandle. I remember years ago when I grew up 14 miles outside of New York City, so we used to go quite often, and we'd drive into the city and we'd be stopped at a red light, and all of a sudden somebody would approach the car with a bucket and a window squeegee, and they would start washing your windows, and you tell them, no, I don't want my windows washed. Well, they wouldn't stop. They would just keep washing your windows, and then they wanted you to pay them. So it's one thing if you ask somebody to wash your window. It's like I was telling my mother last night, how would we like it if somebody came to our house and just they started washing all the windows, and then they rang the bell and they wanted to get paid when we didn't ask them. So anyway, it was a problem because they'd get mad. Some of them would pound on your car if you wouldn't give them money. And it was frightening. So they made it illegal to do that. But now with this new mayor, de Blasio, they're not getting after the panhandlers and the thousands of people that are sleeping on the street. So it's become a major problem. Yikes. The last time I was in New York City, and that was a long time ago. Yeah, it's been 10 years or more, but the city looked pretty good. That was right after Giuliani and I think Bloomberg was the mayor, but I can't imagine what it's like now, where you're walking down the street and you have panhandlers, you have people using the street as a bathroom, you have garbage all over the street. It's a mess. So we have so many problems in this country today, and when you try to have any kind of law and order, people get upset because they want to do what they want to do, and that's basically we see a lot of that in the so-called church or the church religious system that we see, where people have this spirit of rebellion that you can't tell them what thus saith the Lord, because they get angry when you try to make any kind of correction. So also, I'm looking at this report that just came out a few minutes ago about the election. Now, I'm not making any predictions about the election. I'm not even going to tell you who I like as president, because I'm not going to get involved in politics, and that's another area where people get really upset. But the new poll says that Donald Trump beats Hillary Clinton in this new poll. So that should be very interesting, right? We'll see what happens. But there was also a story that came out this week in USA Today, and I think the girl's name is Kristen Powers. I don't really know that much about her, but she was saying that I think the headline of the story was Donald Trump is a scam artist as far as an evangelical scam artist. Well, we know Donald Trump isn't saved, okay? We know that. He doesn't claim to be born again. I thought it was interesting when someone asked him if he ever asked God for forgiveness, and he said, well, he didn't have to because he tries not to do bad things. That was a big giveaway, because anybody that's really born again and is a Christian, we know that we have to repent, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's no perfect people in the world. I thought that was really funny when he said that. But anyway, this story, and you can read it, but the reason I really like this story is because this lady, Kristen Powers, and I think she's a Democratic operative, okay? But that doesn't matter to me, that part of it, because what she said in the article was that Donald Trump has hooked up with Paula White, and Paula White, who is a total scam artist and daughter of the devil, anyway, Paula White has set up this meeting for Donald Trump in New York, and she's going to invite other evangelical leaders. And this lady, Kristen Powers, she calls Paula White a huckster and a scam artist. And I thought, wow, I mean, if this lady that I don't know if she's a Christian, Kristen Powers, but she had more discernment than most people in the church, because Paula White, she still has hundreds of people come into her so-called church there in Apopka, and they don't know that she's not saved and she's a daughter of the devil. But yet this lady that writes an article on USA Today, she knows Paula White's a huckster and a scam artist. Well, yeah, she figured it out. So yeah, it would serve Donald Trump well to stay away from Paula White, especially after the comments she made a couple weeks ago with her demonic husband, Jonathan Cain Friga, that people should watch porn to enhance their marriage. And yes, you can see that. The video is on the internet. You can see them saying it. You can see them on video. And that you can see at YouTube on the Remnants. It's called The Remnants JNJ channel, and I think the video is Paula White, Another Adulterous Affair, and you can see Paula and her nutty husband telling the congregation of children, teenagers, and families that they should watch pornography. Yes, you can see it for yourself. So I know, people say, well, why are you trying to tear these people down? I don't have to really do too much of anything to tear these people down. They do a pretty good job tearing themselves down. So I don't have to do too much, especially if you call yourself an apostle. With what Paula White does, I guess she's an apostle of the Church of Satan, because only a Satanist would say such a thing like that, to watch pornography in a church setting. And so I don't really have to do too much. Paula does a pretty good job of destroying her own credibility. Eventually, these people, and really when I do programs, I don't make things up. I don't just say things off the top of my head. When I report on these so-called ministries, I gather the facts. I get their own audio, their own video, and I merely tell you what they said. So we're not on any kind of a witch hunt here. We just want to report the news to you, especially the church news of what's going on. And I also want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. So if you have any questions or comments, you can call in and I will take your call. And the call-in number is 914-338-1638. So if you have a comment or a question, please call in. So we're going to talk today a little bit more about Rod Parsley and Maurice Cirillo. Now, I signed up to be on both of their mailing lists, so I do get emails from them. And especially Maurice Cirillo. Now, Maurice Cirillo, he doesn't know me from Adam. I mean, he wouldn't, if we bumped into each other, he wouldn't know me. But he writes to me and he tells me he loves me. Oh, and oh, we love you. Yes, yes, yes. He loves me, but he especially loves my money. Yes, because whenever Morris tells you he loves you, there's always an offering involved. So if you're ever interested in signing up to be on some of their emailing lists, there's always... Now, I'm not against people doing fundraising. I don't care if people take up offerings. As long as they tell you what they are going to use it for, and they're telling you this offering is for me, it's not for God, because God doesn't need any money. Ministries need money. So just be honest. You don't have to make up things and make up fantasies for people so that you can get offerings. Like Rod Parsley and Maurice Cirillo do. They make up stories that you owe it to God to sow this seed because it's the Day of Atonement, or it's Yom Kippur, or it's the Feast of Pentecost. And on these days, you have to give God some money. Otherwise, he doesn't answer your prayers. Well, that's called scamming. That's called being a con artist, because that's not true. The New Testament is about love. We do not do things in the New Testament because we want something back, or because God will be mad at us if we don't bring some money over to the church house. The New Testament is based on love because, number one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So in like manner, we give because we love. God loved us. We love him. We love his people. We like to bless people. Every born again Christian should be a giver. That you should just be a giver. You're supposed to know that you're supposed to give. But you don't have to give to everybody, because especially if people are able-bodied. Now, if you're able-bodied and you're not disabled and you're not suffering from some life-threatening disease, well, then you need to work. I don't want to hear your sob story about, oh, you know, I can't pay my rent, and I can't do this, and I can't. Well, it's called get a job and keep a job. If you can't find a job, make a job. Go knock on your neighbor's doors and wash their windows, or clean their yard, or mow their lawn, or do their grocery shopping. Or you can make a job if you can't find one. You can make one. So, if you're able-bodied, then me personally, I don't want to hear your sob story, because you need to do something to support yourself and to support your family. But if you're going through a crisis where you've had a surgery, or you've become disabled, and it's no fault of your own, then I think we should help people. But you know, people that are always crying the blues about, you know, I can't pay my bills, and this happened to me and that happened to me. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. So it's between you and God. Amen. Otherwise, you can become God to people pretty easy. Like if you start meeting everybody's needs, You can become God to people, and they will never leave you alone. I mean, I've had crazy relatives like that. You want to help them, and then they never leave you alone. They won't go away. So, anyway, you have to learn how to say no, and everybody has to learn how to trust God, just like I have to trust God to meet my daily needs. And you have to trust God to meet your daily needs. Amen? So, very interesting, you know, that Rod Parsley is the pastor of World Harvest Church there in Columbus, Ohio. And a few weeks ago, we learned that Rod Parsley had throat cancer. And now, I've had many friends that have had cancer. I personally visited a cancer hospital and have much compassion for anybody that has cancer. It's horrible. Cancer is horrible. The treatment is horrible. It's torture. I don't wish it on anybody. I don't wish it on, I would never wish it on Rod Parsley. I do not rejoice in any way that he has throat cancer. I never imagined that this would happen to him. I knew that Rod was treading on shaky ground because of his constant lying about the Lord Jesus Christ and his constant scamming of God's people. I knew that he was in danger of either his ministry going bankrupt or some kind of judgment would be waiting for him, because he will not stop. And even in this crisis that he's going through, and I'm going to play some audio for you, and I'll read some of the things that I got from his website. I'm shocked that here's this man now. I think he's been out of his pulpit for 7 or 8 weeks. He cannot talk, and you'll hear his wife telling you this, because I took the audio from Wednesday night when she spoke at the church, and she spoke about his throat cancer, and she told about him not being able to speak right now, and that one of his vocal cords was damaged from the radiation, and that they expect it to get better, but that this man is going through torture. She talks about him having to have a scope put down through his nose, down his throat, and that he had to have this procedure a few times. Now, that's torturous. That's torturous, okay? So this man is going through a lot of pain and agony. And my heart goes out to him after I heard her on Wednesday night. And when I got up the next morning, I kept thinking about him. I was praying for him. And my heart went out to him and his family, because it's not easy to watch someone go through this. And I'm expecting Rod to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. I repent for using my voice to scam your people, to con your people, to preach another Jesus. I want to hear that. And most of all, the Lord wants to hear that from Rod. You know, when God lays you down on a bed of affliction, and I believe that God does allow people sometimes to be afflicted, to get their attention. So Rod is in a position now where he's prostrate before the Lord. And Rod Parsley knows, and anybody that's been sick knows this, nobody can heal you. You cannot even lay hands on yourself and heal yourself. Benny Hinn can't come to your house and lay hands on you and heal you. Nobody can heal you. Nobody. Nobody. The doctors can't heal you. The healing evangelists can't heal you. The only person that's going to heal you is God Almighty himself. And unless God heals you, you are not getting healed in the sense of getting healed in this life. You might pass away, and to me that's the ultimate healing because you're healed and you go on to heaven if you're saved. But if God does not heal you of your terminal illness, then you're not getting healed. And to see where your body is going to be well and you're not going to have the cancer. Now, I don't understand everything. I've known many, many people that have died with cancer, many people that love the Lord that passed away with cancer. And I do not understand everything. But one thing I do know for sure, and this I know for sure, is we are all going to die. It doesn't make it any easier to watch our loved ones pass away. We don't like it. We miss them. It grieves us. And I don't think anybody likes death, except maybe for the person that's dying. For me, I don't really care because I know where I'm going, so it doesn't bother me to die. It might bother my family if I passed away, but for me, it doesn't bother me because I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But that's one thing we all know. So I don't get angry at God. I know people get angry at God that, why did my child die, or why did my, and that might be a natural reaction for a time, is to be angry when someone dies, but everybody is going to die, and that's a fact of life. So it doesn't do any good to get mad at God. I don't know why some people die young, some people die horrible deaths, and they know the Lord. I don't understand all that. And I won't understand it on this side. Later on, I'll have questions maybe, and maybe it won't matter once I'm in heaven. All that won't matter, but don't get mad at God because he's the only one that we can depend on. He's the only one that we can rely on. And that's what I'm expecting from Rod Parsley. I want to hear that from Rod Parsley. I want to see on his television program. I want to see on his website, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. I am a man of unclean lips. I want to hear that. I don't want to hear about the atonement blessing that's coming up on September 27th where Rod is promising you seven blessings of the atonement if you send in an offering. He knows himself he can't send in any offering and get a healing from his throat cancer. He knows that. His wife on Wednesday night said that just going over to the cancer hospital and spending time at the cancer hospital has changed her. Watching all the people there suffering with cancer and watching her own husband going through the painful treatments and her own husband not being able to talk. And I want to ask Joni Parsley today, I want to ask you, Joni, how would you feel if someone at that cancer hospital came up to you with $1,000 and handed it to you and said, here's my $1,000, my atonement offering. Can you help me? When you know yourself, all those seeds that you claim to have sown, all the money you gave in all these offerings that you have been offering on your television program, did it prevent Rod from getting throat cancer? No. Did he get healed of his throat cancer without having to get radiation treatments? No. How can you continue to scam people after seeing what you have seen and hearing what you have heard? Why hasn't this information that's currently on your website been taken down, telling people to send in an atonement offering and to put it in two hands to get their seven blessings, when you know you didn't get any seven blessings? Rod didn't get any seven blessings. He can make all the faith confessions he wants. The confession that God wants to hear from both of you is, we're sorry. We're sorry that people with cancer thought that if they send us an offering, they could get a healing. That's the faith confession that God wants to hear. That's the faith confession that the body of Christ wants to hear, too. I'm going to play some of this audio for you so you can hear it for yourself. I am no enemy of Rod Parsley's. I am not his enemy. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And a friend tells you the truth. The truth. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was the atonement offering. We do not need atonement offerings to be sent to any ministry to get miracles. That's an abomination. I'm going to play this audio for you. And this is Joni Parsley from Wednesday night at World Harvest Church. And she's talking about Rod's treatments and a little bit of what she's been going through. And I hope, and I pray, Joni, if you listen to this program, I hope you hear my heart and what I'm saying. And I hope and I pray that I see you and Rod standing together and repenting to the body of Christ and to all the people out there that you have lived luxuriously off of their desperation. And you can see right now what desperation, true desperation, is. So here's Joni from Wednesday night at World Harvest. Let me just pull this video audio up for you. Here we go.
To get scoped again. He's been scoped so many times, and if you haven't had that done, it's just, I don't know how he can just stand it, but they take a scope through your nose and down your throat to about here and get a picture. You can watch the video and see the picture of what it looks like. I'm sure he'll bring them to you. He has a photo montage on his phone. And but it's pretty rough to watch. And he'll go for, as soon as the swelling goes down in the vocal cords, enough. He has absolutely no voice, none. He's not even allowed to whisper. I am trying to learn to read lips. And or he does this. Actually, no, I was like, I hear that snap one more time. Or it'll be this. Or if he can't get you to beat. It's just like, oh my gosh. Or he pokes you. And Ash Tabib is in the car. She's like, would you stop poking me? I'm right here. So, but we've been to every treatment. I missed a few, but we've had some very faithful people be with us and appreciate it so deeply. But once the swelling goes down and those vocal cords, because it did affect, well, the one that has the tumor on it, but the radiation also did some damage on the other one, not permanent. But once the swelling goes down, they can get a scope and make sure that the tumor is all gone. So he won't have to have surgery like that little prayer, that little boy. And he will be laboring after Labor Day, as Brother Shuttlesworth said. And he's going to come in. We've told him you're going to, and his doctor says you're going to have to ease into everything. That's going to be tricky. I was hoping Brother Shuttlesworth would tell me I could stop laboring after Labor Day, but I didn't get that word. So, anyway. But he's been a trooper. And let me tell you, he has a book. I think Joanna made it for him, Tweet, we call her. It's just a notebook of scriptures and confessions, and he reads it twice a day regardless, and regardless of how he's been feeling, he lays across the bed and he's got his notebook out, and sometimes I'll walk in and his hands are up and his eyes are closed, he's in worship. And so the other night he said, I really can't read, will you sit down beside me and read my scriptures? So I opened the book and I thought, I can't read any of this, it's scribbled all over. And he said, well, this is all my sermon material for the next. So he's got so much sermon, but he can't even read a confession scripture without it, five sermons coming out of it. So we're going to get a lot of sermons, a lot of really good sermons. One is on the half of this. I said, only you would, you know, be babbling this. And making up your sermons, but that's a confession and a profession of faith that he's going to preach again. So, as I shared with you, in one of the first times that you hear those words, cancer, and before everything kicks in, your mind's going all different places, and one of the first things he said was, will I ever preach again? And I'm not finished yet. And I said, you are going to preach again. Of course you are. God's not finished. You've got a word. We need that truth. Everybody said it that's been in here. We're so grateful for the friends and our peers in ministry that have come through here to help. The staff has been amazing. Everyone's support. I want to thank you for the support of this congregation, our church family, and staff who have just been wonderful. The cards, the letters, the food, the desserts. Austin, he has to grow. Pastor has to have a beard. And everyone kept asking him, "Are you trying to be like Elder Canfield?" And he said he's not allowed to shave because of the radiation that goes up this way. So Austin decided in solidarity that he was going to...
There's just a little break here in the audio, and we'll be back. Waiting for this sound to come back on. I know they had a little break in the audio there while she was talking.
I'm now done. I've been fasting all day for tonight, but hope it means I've lost half a pound or something. So it's a double fast. So, but anyway, we want to thank you, and just I wanted to give you that little update and let you know that your prayers are working, and I know that there are times he has said it. I, through some very difficult times where, you know, there's been a few times where he couldn't breathe, and they are amazed that he came through this without a tracheotomy or a PICC line, a feeding tube. The doctor said it the other day. He said, and one of the nurses just said, "I cannot believe you came through this without a trach and a PICC line and a feeding tube." It's just amazing. And they told him he'd lose probably 20 to 25 pounds. I think he's lost 2. So it's because of all your good cooking, and everybody spoiled him. So that will end soon. But thank you so very, very much from the bottom of our hearts. He has said, I feel the strength of prayers. I truly feel, and he calmed right down, I feel the strength of prayers right now. And so prayer does work. It's never unnoticed, and it never goes unnoticed, and the power of it reaches the need. So please keep it up. We're still in the midst of the battle. I'm sorry, because I know I do this with the mic and drive all the sound guys crazy. But you know, we still have a few weeks through this, and we're going to come out with a great testimony. So we know that we're very blessed, because not everybody has the opportunity in a fight like this to have a church family praying, to have people all over the world praying, to have other ministers praying. And we know that. And we send that seed and the harvest of that back upon and to the people that are going through needs. We don't want to just be selfish. Whatever is being given to us, we ask that God gives it to the people in our church family, so that it's not just about us, because what gets in the head gets in the body. And so those prayers are working for you as well, because we all need to be healthy and ready to thunder when he gets back. So, but anyway, I'm going to continue on with my little Sesame Street and talk about that a little bit. I'm going to sit down and have my little story time, if that's okay. I just wanted tonight and the next few weeks to be very casual. And this is the only Muppet-type shirt I could, this is Austin's, that I could find. So feel free the next few weeks to wear any of your vintage cartoon stuff, your old cartoon stuff. I don't care. I'm not fancy. And this is how we do it at Valor. Valor Chapel is like my favorite thing ever. So they have the best. I have 20 minutes left. Okay. They have the best chapels. I'm telling you. You got to slip in sometime. Well, I was going to go this very, you know, like I said, very spiritual route. Then I was going to go through a couple scriptures to talk about. The other word was personal. And so those were my words. Well, I had this, you know, 3 or 4 great scriptures, which I'll use in another week. But Sarah Renteria was over to get some of the scriptures so she could do this. And in these last few months, where I've watched more suffering than I can honestly say, not only with my own husband, but to go to a cancer hospital every day and watch what people go through, has changed me, changed my heart, and I'll talk more about that. It's changed my purpose and pursuit and my dreams and changed a lot. But I realize more and more when you're in a condition like that, how much you seem like a little child in need of a great father. And I'll read some more next week just from this book, because and so I was cleaning and I was going to put on some worship music, and the Lord said to me, no, I want to hear you. And I thought, well okay. I am not, you know, Carrie or Lisa, but okay. And he said, from your spirit, sing to me. So I did, and I was singing to him what I felt about him and throughout the day, and just sang, and not sang in tongues or in tongues, the melody of tongues, but just sang, and whatever melody popped into my head. And it didn't always rhyme, and heaven, thank you that nobody was home to hear, but I have never had this experience happen to me. But in the midst of that, he spoke right back to me in verse, and he said, little girl who loves me like a little girl, call on me, I hear your prayer and give you what you need. Little girl, don't be afraid, you're not alone, for you have made your heart a place I can call my home. And that's what I want for us. And then I'm not saying, oh, pat on my back, you know, I'm ready to be translated because I'm so perfect and I'm, you know, too good for this earth now. I have so much growing to do, and sanctification and consecration and setting apart. But there are things that we'll talk about and ways in order to get to that place. All of us, including me, and not getting to that place, but getting to a place to be more personal, to be more his, to be more like him, to be more effective, and to be more personal and effective in this world that needs us. And what the word on the street will be when they see us, they're going to see him, and they're going to see that there's something different about that person. And that's my heart's desire, is that when somebody sees me, it's like there's something different about her, that the atmosphere changes a little bit when we walk into a room or something. So I just want to end with that. If you don't know the Lord, you can. If you need to know him on a deeper level, you can. And you can have that personal, true relationship and dialogue with him all day. Inner dialogue, outer dialogue. I whine, I cry, I complain, I do everything I do with my earthly parents, and my family, and that's when you have those personal relationships, you can say and do whatever, because they get you. And God gets us. I said that once, nobody gets me. Nobody gets me. I told you that once so far. Nobody gets me, just nobody. I was driving, and I was crying, you know, just. And the Lord spoke to me and said, nobody's ever going to get you. You don't even get you. I'm the only one that gets you. So he gets you. And he gets us. And he loves us in spite. He looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. What a God. What a wonder. What a wonder. That's why we never lose our childlike wonder, because we are serving the greatest wonder of all. So, Elder Canfield.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen, let's thank our First Lady for sharing with us tonight.
We now resume our regular program schedule, already in progress.
Well, there you are. That was Joni Parsley from Wednesday evening. And my prayer is for both of them to have a real Damascus Road experience and a heart change about how they've been operating their ministry, especially to the sick. Yeah. And yeah, Brother Vince, you're right. The first lady title, that needs to go because she's just Joni. She's Joni Parsley. She's not the first lady. And even when I noticed during the speech when she's talking about Rod, she doesn't say Rod. She says pastor. Well, his name is Rod. He's Rod Parsley. And let's get back down to earth here and drop all the pretensions, the pride and the arrogance, because this is one time where only the mercy of God, the mercy of God can help the Parsleys. I don't know what's going to happen to Rod Parsley. I know that there isn't anybody to take his place. He doesn't really have anybody there that can take his place at the church. Certainly his wife or his daughter, they're not ready to run that ministry. I mean, God could literally shut the whole thing down. And it may be the best thing is to start all over again. I know for myself, when I came out of the Word of Faith movement, I stayed out of public ministry for many years until I felt like I was ready to get back out there, or if God wanted me to get back out there. I wanted to come back, and I wanted to be able to speak honestly and openly and tell the truth about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether I got offerings or I didn't get offerings, that didn't matter anymore. What mattered was the truth of the gospel. And if it wasn't popular, then so be it. If when I first started this broadcast 6 years ago, I didn't know if anybody was going to listen. But I thought to myself, if I could reach just one person, then it'll be worth it if I come on every week and just start talking, which I did. And it always amazes me when people ask me about my numbers. And we have very good numbers. We have thousands of listeners. But they ask me about sometimes when people want to come on the broadcast, they ask me, well, how many listeners do you have? Well, what does that matter? Okay. What does that matter? Are we here to preach the gospel, or are we always interested in numbers and how many people are going to hear me? If one person hears you, it only took 12 people, 12 apostles after Jesus left to have an impact that we still feel today on the world. So if you reach one person and you can help straighten one person out about what is really the gospel of Jesus Christ and who Jesus really is, not the other Jesus that they talk about, then it's worth it, isn't it? Isn't it? So we see a lot of that today about, well, look how big this church is and how many people came to the conference and all that. That doesn't matter. And if that's the only reason that you want to come on a radio program or you want to have a ministry, then you're in the ministry for the wrong reasons. And that may be what the Lord wants from the Parsleys, is for them to sit down and to be quiet. Because right now, Rod Parsley has no choice but to be quiet. And it's a good time to reflect upon your life when you're facing your own mortality, which he may be. It's a good time to examine yourself and to look at your life and to look at your ministry and to say, I missed it. I did it wrong. I was wrong. And I want to do it right. Whether I lose everything I have, whether I lose my building, my television program, you can always go on internet radio. You can go on internet television. It's free. All you need is a mouse. All you need is a mouse. So you don't have to worry about raising millions of dollars anymore and scamming people to have a so-called ministry. If you really want a ministry, just open your mouth and start talking. That doesn't cost anything. It's free. So this may be a time where they may have to do that. They may have to do that because I'm sure the offerings are down. And even on Sunday morning, I've been watching, going over there and looking at their Sunday morning service, which is live on the internet. They don't really even use the people that they have at the church to preach. They're bringing in guest speakers to help fill the gap there. They don't even use the people they have there on a regular basis. The people that have been there for years serving him. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I really don't. But that is my hope and prayer. I was really burdened for Rod Parsley the other day. Really burdened for him. And hoping that I could hear. I could hear from him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm facing one of the most difficult times of my life. And I need the mercy of God. I need his forgiveness. That's what I'm hoping for him and his wife and his children. I see a little hint of that maybe in Joni Parsley, because like her, I've been to a cancer hospital. I didn't have cancer, but I saw it with my own eyes. I saw the suffering. And it has to change you. It has to change you. If it doesn't change you, then you're hard-hearted. So I'm hoping that it changes them enough that you can go to their website, and I'm going to pull up the website now. And you go to the website, okay? I see nothing on the website about change. I see nothing on the website about repentance. I see nothing on the website about an apology to the body of Christ and to unbelievers for selling miracles. I see nothing. I see, go to rodparsley.com. Here's what I see. Your season of double. The Day of Atonement. Get ready for your seven blessings. The Day of Atonement is God's holiest day of the year. Well, that is a lie. Be a part of this divine appointment. Okay? And it says click here for more information. All right? So I click. I'm clicking now, and I'm waiting for it to come up. And do you know what it's going to take me to? It's going to take me to a page where I could sow a financial seed to get my seven blessings of the atonement. I see no repentance here. I see no sackcloth and ashes. I see arrogance and pride. That's what I see. And that's the truth. Anybody that can be afflicted the way Rod Parsley is afflicted today, and to have this kind of thing up on his website, I don't see a change there. I don't know, when you're ill like that, as sick as he is, you lay there. You have nothing else to do but to lay there and reflect on your life. What is going through his head? I'm going to beat this, and I'm going to have a testimony, and I'm. It's not about you anymore. It's about you laying on a bed of affliction and crying out to God for mercy. It's about Jesus. It's about his gospel. Okay, I just clicked, and now the page came up. And the page says, seven blessings, a double portion, here they come. Let me read this to you. We are approaching the Day of Atonement. This has been God's special day of connection with his people every single year for thousands of years. Well, we know that's a lie. It's a lie. In addition, this year's Day of Atonement also signals the year of Jubilee. Now, here's the year of Jubilee he's pushing. The end of a 50-year cycle on God's calendar. Oh, yeah. You know, in other words, so what? You owe everybody and their mother money. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay them because God's going to forgive your debts. Yeah, this is the year of Jubilee. That's Christian? Is that Christian? No, that's not Christian. You owe people money, you need to pay it. Here it says, the 2015 Day of Atonement, it has supernatural significance. There has never been such a moment in your entire lifetime. Do not miss this opportunity for blessing. Ron, you didn't get any blessing yourself, okay? You didn't get any blessing yourself. So how can you tell anybody else that they can sow a Day of Atonement blessing and offering and get a blessing when you're not blessed? You have throat cancer. You're not blessed. You didn't get anything for all the money you gave. You can't keep doing this. You can't keep doing it. Then he says, but each year before the rapture, during this season of atonement, God gives his people a divine bonus if they obey him. Seven blessings in double portion. That's a lie. That's a lie. And then it says, yes, Pastor Parsley, I want to obey the Lord on the Day of Atonement and experience the seven special blessings, including the double portion. Here is my atonement offering of at least $50 in each hand, a total of $100 or more. Please send me Pastor Parsley's new book.
Stop it.
Stop it. Just stop it, Rod Parsley. Stop it. Just stop. That's my message. That's my message today. My open letter to Rod Parsley, Joni Parsley, and Ashton Parsley. Please, stop. Stop it. Stop it. Dear God Almighty, help us. Help us. Help us. Truly, we are living in turbulent times. We don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. We just do not know. Now, I'm not a big proponent of the Shemitah year and, I don't trust Jonathan Kahn either. No, I don't trust him. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not looking for a big event to happen in September. If something happens, it's going to happen. But I don't see a stock market crash coming. No, I don't see it happening. No. Not yet. So I'm not preparing for a stock market crash. too many wealthy people have their money invested in stock. So do you think that they want to lose all their money? It was, remember the Y2K and all the so-called Christian ministries were warning you about Y2K. If you were smart, Y2K was a time when you could have made millions of dollars. For instance, at that time, some of the stocks, especially in the dot-coms, you could buy them for 5 cents, and then they went up to $50. There was no Y2K catastrophe. So I don't see a stock market crash in September. I don't see one in the near future. Well, I could be wrong, but I just don't see a great financial collapse in the near future because there's too many wealthy people that have their money invested. And wealthy people, investors and people that probably are a lot smarter than me, they would be, by the droves, they would be taking their money out of the stock market. I don't see all these thousands of businesses in this country, corporations going bankrupt overnight. I just don't see it happening. We have supermarkets. Everybody buys food. Everybody uses electricity. Everybody uses water. Everybody pays their garbage pickup. There are certain things that we're always going to need and we're always going to buy. So I don't see the that we're going to be desperate anytime soon, that you're going to have to work all day for a loaf of bread. I don't see that yet. That could be coming. But I just don't see a total economic collapse. So I'm not buying into the whole thing. I'll probably do another program on that. If I don't trust Jonathan Kahn, I don't, because of the people he associates with. He associates with Benny Hinn. He associates with TBN. He associates with all these con artist ministries. So I don't trust him as a so-called prophet. And so I have no confidence in his predictions at all. So anyway, we'll do some more programs on that in the future. But I was going to talk a little bit about Morris Cirillo. I'll do that on a future program. But hopefully, let's pray for the Parsley family. And I do hope that they will listen to this program. They will take it to heart. It's not meant to hurt the Parsley family. Really want to see a change for the better. And for Rod to come back and to be a real blessing to the world and especially to the body of Christ. So that's our program for today, everybody. And God bless you. I want to thank everybody for listening and for tuning in to our broadcast, for being faithful to listen for these many, many years that we've been here, 6 years now. Hard to believe, but I'm so very grateful that the Lord has given me this opportunity to speak my mind and hopefully to help people to understand the true meaning of Christianity, what it really means to be a Christian and to be a minister of the gospel. We love the gospel of Jesus Christ, any of us that have been born again, and we remember our old life, and we remember how it was when we didn't know the Lord. Awful our life was without God and His Son. But we remember how God picked us up out of the miry clay. He picked us up out of that pig pen that we were in. And He changed our life in an instant. And old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. And we love the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love God's word. We do not sell the gospel. We do not take advantage of people because of the gospel. Because we remember what that word of God did for us, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us when we were lost. We were lost, so lost. And yet God in his mercy looked down upon us and he had mercy on us. He forgave our sins. He gave us a brand new life. And there's no way I would ever go back to that old life, ever. There isn't enough money in the world. You couldn't give me all the money in the world to ever go back to my old life and to a life of sin. And yet to use the gospel of Jesus Christ to scam people? Never. 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 I don't understand it. I cannot understand how anyone in their right mind would ever want to do that after knowing what God has done for us. And it was given freely. We didn't have to pay for it. Did any of us give an offering before we got born again? None of us did. No, no, we didn't. It was a free gift. Free. And anything you want from God or need from God, and if he feels like you're supposed to have it, he gives it to you freely. Freely, freely. And I just don't, sometimes I don't get it, is why people don't understand that they don't have to pay God off and that giving is an act of love between brothers and sisters in Christ, that we give to each other to be a blessing to each other. I don't understand what all the hoopla is about and why people get hung up in all the minutia when it's that simple. It's about love. Simple. The gospel is simple. Simple to understand. Simple to practice. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you can ask him to come into your life. You can ask him to forgive you of your sins. In the third chapter of John, Jesus Christ himself said, "Ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God." You must do it. Read the book of Romans, and the book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. I am not a Calvinist. I do not believe in Calvinism. I believe in free will. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And that's something you have to do for yourself. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior, all of us. Trust Jesus Christ today, because he truly is the only one that can change your life and he can change your desires. He can do it. He is God. He is God. All right then, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you, Brother Vincent, and everybody that stopped by today. Don't forget to check out Brother Vincent's radio program, Truth Sharks, Black by Color Only. You'll enjoy it very much. And also my friend, the Wolf Tracker, and another program I like, Jackie Alnor on Rapture Ready Radio. And there's quite a few really excellent radio ministries out there. Good teaching. And most of all, read your Bible. Don't be deceived. God's given us his word. All of us have Bibles. And we need to read it and to find out what's true. Because if you read your Bible and you check everything out with the Word of God, you won't be deceived. You will not be deceived. So that's the most important thing. Okay, God bless you all. Tune in next week, okay? Bye-bye.
Okay, record, here we go.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, on a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.